UJFM 95.4.
AKA teaming up with MT and Manana, Betty Crown, taking us to 8:35 this beautiful morning. You are still tuned into the Sunrise Blend. For the past 2 hours, 30 minutes, and for the past 2 weeks on our social media, we've been awaiting this moment, and it's finally here. I cannot tell you how excited I am. Dr. Tebe Ikalafeng is joining us in studio. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning to you.
How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. A bit of a flu, but we're here, we're standing. We're still standing.
A bit
standing.
Of a flu. Did you have breakfast? What did you have for breakfast this morning?
I didn't have breakfast. I had coffee.
You didn't have breakfast this morning.
I had coffee and flu tablets.
Flu tablets.
I think that's a good meal, right? To start your day.
Quite. Doctor, I've never struggled like this in my radio career, putting together an introduction for my guest. Because every single accolade under your belt is as iconic. I didn't know what to take in. I didn't know what to leave out, because over your 30-year career, you've earned quite significant recognition in brand and marketing, which includes being named one of New African Magazine's 100 most influential Africans. Now, I was just telling my team earlier on how there's 1.4 billion people in Africa, but you're one of the 100 most influential. That is absolutely huge. You've also received the Financial Made at Focus Lifetime Achievement Award, a thought leader known for your advocacy of sustainable African brands. You hold degrees from Marquette University. You hold a Master's of Law from the University of Turin in Italy in collaboration with WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization. And most recently, this is my favorite one, you were awarded an honorary doctorate in philosophy by the University of Johannesburg, where our very own Professor Mbedi praised you for embodying excellence, leadership and services, which are all the values that are upheld by UJ's honorary doctorate. It's a long list. I could go on for the whole day.
But the only thing that matters is just you said you're from Kimberley. That's the most important thing.
You're from Kimberley.
Because Kimberley sums up everything.
It's where it
because
all
Kimberley,
started.
That's where it all started. That's where the Diamond Rush started. That's where the first street light started. That's
yes.
where the first tram started. Mm. So if you just said Kimberley, you'd have summed it up.
That would have been it. That'd because been that it. Is the beginning of it all. And it also began by you pursuing a career in marketing and branding. What inspired you to go for this route?
Well, I actually started in accounting.
Okay.
I started in accounting at Wits, and I dropped out. But obviously, I don't put it on my CV because you can't put dropout in a CV.
Yes.
Are you allowed to put dropout in a CV?
No, it's not good.
It doesn't look good,
yes.
And sometimes it slips in and people says, oh, you went to Wits as well.
Yes.
And then you forgot to write dropout. And then it becomes a big problem.
It becomes a big problem because we now want the degree. Where is it?
So was the pictures of the graduation. Yeah. Now, then I left Wits two and a half years into my third year. Mm-hmm. And I moved to the U.S. And now when I arrived in the U.S., I was in the middle of a nightclub, actually, and I met with South Africans. So
okay.
I met lots of South Africans in Denison, in Ohio, and I met this one guy, Khadebe, and he says to me, "Ah, Tebe Ula now." He said, "No, I'm gonna finish my accounting degree."
Yes.
And he looks at me, he's like, "Oh, Tiko, I'm Tebe. You're not an accountant.
No, it's not
you just
yours.
Looked at yourself. It's not yours. That's not your portion.
Yeah.
So you stay away from accounting.
Mm-hmm.
You forget that you're in America now. You're no longer in South Africa. Nobody's going to judge you.
Yes.
So you go." You go to your university. It's funny. That's all he says. It's Busu Khadabe's name. He says, you go to your university. When you get there, relax and figure out what's good for you.
Yeah.
He says, I think you're a marketing guy. That's what he said. And anyway, I was first row accounting first semester at Adversity and last row marketing. By the end of the second year, I was front row marketing, last row accounting. So that's how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, and by the when I finished my 4-year degree in 3 years.
Yeah.
Because what I did is I took no credits from South Africa because South Africa is a linear type of program. So you're in accounting, or you're going to see accounting-related courses. There, it's a multidisciplinary. You learn from everything.
Okay.
There's psychology, there's marketing, there's everything. So you get a good liberal arts in college. So you get a good feel within the first 2 years of what works and what you like and your interests.
Yes.
So I always took maximum load, and summer, which is a summer semester,
yes.
which is 3 months. They offer classes as well.
Okay.
But most people are out, going back home.
Mm-hmm.
I took classes. And that's how I finished my 4-year degree in 3 years.
In 3 years.
And then I was named Marketing Student of the Year.
Mm.
That's how I ended up in marketing.
All right.
And obviously I started working for Colgate after I got my MBA.
Wow.
I stayed on for my MBA.
Yeah.
And then I started working for Colgate in New York.
I love how your friend said that you're no longer in South Africa. No one is going to judge you for not doing this, because I can imagine during that time, it was the 90s, right?
89.
A lot of black people around the time were just teachers, you know, police officers and teachers. And so there was a certain, I think I would like to believe, a notion, Yahuri, you have to go a certain route and not certain routes. But I love that you went for what your heart wanted. You've visited many countries in our African continent.
I've been to every single one.
All 54?
So I've been to all 50. I've actually been to all 60 countries.
Okay.
So there's 54 countries, according to Morocco.
Yeah.
There's 55, according to the African Union.
Okay.
But then there's other countries, like Reunion, Mayotte, which are French, and then there's St. Helena, which is English. Then you've got Canary Islands, which is Spanish. But they're all on African soil.
They're all within the African soil.
So that's how I arrived at 60.
Which one was your favorite of these countries and why?
There's no such question. It's impossible to say which one was your favorite country, because every single country you learn something.
Yeah.
Every single country you take something from it.
Mm.
But perhaps the one that I took the most out of should probably be Ethiopia.
Okay.
Because Ethiopia is it's such a unique country.
Mm-hmm.
They've got their own food, their own language, their own dress,
yeah,
their own religion, and they are very pious. And I think I found it to be the deepest of the African countries in terms of a very clear identity of who they are. And there's a spiritualism as well about them. So, yeah, it's not the best country.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one country which had an interesting impact.
Impact. And you've worked with quite a lot of African brands. What is that one African brand project that has been the most exciting for you, and why that particular brand?
Very good question.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked in politics, so yeah. I've put presidents in power across the continent. I have worked in multiple industries, from financial services, from higher education, from FMCG, and all those. I think the most interesting must have been the political one, because first, I didn't know anything about politics. I still don't know anything about politics.
Yes.
A young Ghanaian boy says to me, he's doing an internship. He says, "Sir, I think you can help my father's party win the elections."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Yo, elections?
Elections?"
I'm like, "The only thing I know about the elections is 94 when I voted."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "What do you mean?" He says, you're so brilliant at branding. I think what you can do, you can take the practice of branding and apply it to politics and help my father's party win.
Hmm.
And we did by 0.8%.
So are you allowed to share all the presidents that you've been able to put to power? Is our president there as well?
No, I don't do any political work in South Africa.
In South Africa,
the reason is, it's quite simple, is in your home country, when you work with any political party, they frame you.
Okay.
They say, "Oh no, Tebe is an ANC guy, or Tebe is a DA guy, Tebe is an EFF guy,"
mm-hmm.
because they don't look at it as a professional. Whereas outside of your country, they see you as a professional who brings a skill, not necessarily a partisan somebody.
Uh-huh.
So in the country, they would have. If I'd worked with any of them, I'm familiar with all of them,
yes,
and obviously all of them know me. Pretty much all the politicians in the country know me, know who I am.
Yeah.
But I have no interest in working in politics in the country.
And how do you think, Doctor, branding and marketing can help Africa grow in a way that lasts and changes how people from around the world see Africa?
Well, if you look at the study that I've done for 15 years in a row now,
mm-hmm.
Brand Africa 100, Africa's Best Brands, in that study, we've learned over the last 10 years that only 15% of the brands that Africans admire are made in Africa.
Ah.
So if only 15% of the brands that Africans admire are made in Africa, it means that, and by the way, you must see how we express ourselves. We express ourselves, "Oh, I'm wearing Dolce & Gabbana, I'm a Louis Vuitton person, I'm a Ciroc, because brands help us to create an identity that creates a story about us. So imagine if we can do that for African brands.
Yeah.
It will reverse that 15 to 85,
yeah,
right? But now you see it growing. Now you're seeing people taking pride in wearing Makosa.
Yes.
You see people taking pride in wearing Tsepo, and they made the name Tepper jeans. No longer Gojoju and Armani, Dolce and Gabbana, because we've never met those ones. Mm. But Tepper we can relate to.
Yes.
We can relate to Amaxhosa because it's a culture that is closer to us. Now imagine if we build more and more brands like that. Mm. It will ultimately do a couple of things. One, what brands do is brands help to create an identity of a country.
Okay.
So we know France as the country of sex and sexiness and style.
Yes.
Because that's France.
That's France.
We know English as a country and based on what? Based on Chanel and based on the colognes. And then we know England to be a country of tradition.
Mm.
Based on what? The royal family.
Savile
Row, the suits. Yeah. We know America to be a country of entrepreneurship.
Mm.
How? Because all the greatest ideas, most of them have come out of that country in the last 20 years. Whether everything that we use now, I mean, in the last 15 years, we never had Google, Instagram, we never had any of those.
Mm.
All of them have come out of America. So it's a country of entrepreneurship. So what brands will do, brands will help to create one, an identity for us. This is a country of X or country that looks like this. Because when you want to buy a car and you're like, you know, I want to buy a car that's solid.
Yes.
Where do you go? Germany.
Germany, yes.
Right?
BMW.
And BMW, Mercedes,
yes.
Porsche. So that's what you do.
Yep.
Right? That's what brands do. They help to create an image and identity for the country itself as well. But the second thing that they do is they help to create an industry. Because now, here in South Africa, we've been saying for the last, I don't know how many years, 30 years, we're going to create black industrialists, we're going to create industrials. I don't know what those things are. But we've done nothing.
Yes.
So instead, what we need to create industries, you need to look at who are creating ideas and to take those ideas and scale them. That's how you create an industry. So if you can create so what brands do is, now you've got somebody like Theo Baloyi and Elikao Sehwana, Drip and Batu. What do they do every time they put Theo says, I'm now employing 500 people.
Mm.
I'm now opening 25 shops. I'm now. So what is that? That's scale. That's employment. Mm. So brands have to create employment. The third thing that brands do as well to help a country is they have to create a revenue stream. Because now these industries have to pay tax.
Yeah.
The people who buy the brands have to pay VAT. Can you see?
Now
the money goes into the economy. Now we don't have to rely on aid for us to get to where to be able to change the country. And that's what brands do. The brands do that. They create a great image for the country. They create jobs. They create a funding opportunity or opportunity to create revenue rather for the country. So if politicians understood that,
yes.
If politicians understood that, mm-hmm. they will invest all their energies in creating brands.
As you speak, Doctor, two words are coming to my mind, innovation and creativity.
Indeed.
How do you think you can help young Africans become good at marketing and leading creatively, especially looking at how things are changing on the internet? We can see with the fourth industrial revolution, the AI, and just around the world, you know, the relationship between certain countries, you know, they keep on changing. And that, of course, does impact a lot of things. How do you think you can help young Africans become good at leading creatively?
Well, we don't need to help Africans to lead creatively because Africans are very creative to start.
Okay.
And you are seeing an abundance of creativity across the continent. They are creating particularly in the tech space. They are creating in the fashion space. They are creating now also in the food space.
Yes.
So the creativity is in abundance. What we need to do for the African kids is to help them to scale, to help them to build the businesses. That's what we need to. They will create regardless.
Yeah.
They're sitting with ideas right now. Mm-hmm. All they're looking for, can I expand? How do I expand my idea? How do I take my idea beyond the borders? How do I take my idea beyond my bedroom?
Yes.
And that's where the challenges are for the country. We can't teach you to innovate, but what we can do is we can create an enabling environment for you to innovate. Because when you are being incentivized to do the things you do, then you also will innovate. Of course, when you look at the other problem that we have in the continent is only 2% of our, if you look at the GDP, I think less than 1% of the GDP is spent on research.
Yes.
In the continent. Mm-hmm. So that's crazy, because if you're not researching, you are not innovating. So if there is anything else, it's just to invest a lot more money in mm-hmm. research. The second thing is intellectual property. Of all the world intellectual properties,
yes.
Africa accounts only for 2%. America over 25%, China over 25%, mm. Europe over 25%. That gives you an idea. Africans don't protect the ideas.
Yes.
So we are creative, but we don't protect.
We don't protect.
So we need to create. We need to protect. I mean, you see, people says, "Hi, that's my establishment into Zambia. That's my idea." Mm. You didn't protect it. When it comes to IP, intellectual property, it's not necessarily who came up with it first; it's who protected it first. And in general.
Absolutely, Doctor. And you've been in this industry for over 3 decades now. Yes, we are going to end up. You look so young. But now, someone is just doing their first year in marketing. You know, someone just graduated. It's graduation season at the University of Johannesburg. What advice do you have for someone like that who's just starting out in this industry?
So someone was studying, and somebody was asking me that yesterday. I said, you know, when I was doing my undergrad,
yes.
On obviously I told you summers I was studying, but other vags I was doing internships
mm-hmm.
Because I think it's important to first have a broad perspective.
Yes.
So don't just do marketing 1, 2, 3, come 1, 2, 3. Add in other interesting thing. Add digital technology. Add interesting subjects which broaden your thing. But the most important thing is get out before you leave varsity and start doing something. Go work in retail. Go sit behind the till. Go and because what are you learning? Who sits behind the till? You are learning consumer behavior. Are you with me?
Yes.
So we can't all go get a job with no degree or no mm-hmm. qualification sitting behind the desk and do what? So go do that job at university. Sell books on campus. Take some aguinya, whatever you can do. That's how you
gain experience.
That's how you gain experience.
Gain
then,
skills.
Of course, it's a dangerous thing to say, but you look out for the people that inspire you in the industry, and then you're like, oh my goodness, how can I access them? Mm. Not necessarily to serve them 24 hours,
yes.
But find a way. But of course, the other thing people are going to probably ask me later about mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is mentorship is also a two-way street.
Okay.
It's not just about you giving or you taking, but it's other person gaining as well. And I recall when my mentor is a great friend of mine now,
mm-hmm.
He's retired now, he was my first boss at Colgate in New York, and he was 43, I was 26 or 27,
at
I don't
the
know
time,
how old
yeah.
I was. But we become great friends because, you know, I taught him about the country, taught about other things, he taught me about corporate America, about all those type of things, give and take.
7 minutes before 9, Doctor, you're conducting your inaugural University of Johannesburg public lecture at 10 o'clock this morning. Please tell us about this. Who can join? How do they join? And what is in it for them? You also are going to be speaking on the topic Reimagining Africa, Shaping a Sustainable Global African Identity and Prosperous Future. Why this topic?
This topic boils down to the only one thing that I've ever done.
Mm.
It boils down to the idea of a need to have a brand-led African renaissance. The need to use brands to create the identity for Africa,
yes.
To create prosperity for Africa.
Mm.
Literally what we spoke about earlier in the beginning, when you asked me what brands will do, this topic pretty much does that.
Yeah.
Those we'll talk about. Well, we'll talk about, I mean, a whole lot of things I've learned from everywhere else.
Mm.
My lectures are always interesting. I think they're fun.
So we should just come enjoy.
Oh, having said so, you know, I used to teach consumer behavior adverts,
uh-huh.
And all my students used to fail. Like Professor St. Clair was a good friend of mine. Professor St. Clair used to say to me, "You are the first lecturer I've met where
yes.
kids give a standing ovation after every class." I'm like, "Yeah, prof, I'm that hot."
You are fun.
And then, but the problem is that they all fail. I'm like, whoa, why are they failing, prof? He says, because when I get into class,
mm-hmm.
I look at the chapter, I look at the table of contents, I look at the blah, 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 then I close the book. Then I speak about how the applicability of that in real life.
Which is very important.
But the problem is that the professors,
uh-huh.
this one's,
yeah.
they teach you on what's inside that book. Not how you understand what that,
how you understand
how that book was. So that's why I was never ever, I was very unconventional as a professor, as a teacher, because I used to explain to them, because when I didn't understand economics, I had an Indian lecturer in the US for my master's, and he broke down economics to everyday stuff. And then I was like, whoa, so that's economics.
That's economics, right?
So and he tested us in that way as well. But when they start testing you by two ends, lines, cross alliance, and doing all those things, then you are you cram these lines, and then you arrive in the exam room, you can't remember which line goes up, which line goes down, because the lines don't make sense. Unless somebody had explained to you, says, no, table, when you use this and you take this away, this you left with extra. I said,
okay, this is how it happens.
That's how it happens.
Who can join this class? Where it's happening?
It's Isolde is very cheap, so she's only doing for a few people.
Okay.
So Dr. Leber here is doing a close room for 22 people.
Yes. Okay.
But we are broadcasting it, we're streaming it live. I told her we need to do this at stadium. We need to fill up the stadium.
Yeah.
And she says to me, no. I'm like, how could we not? We need to fill up the stadium. We need to challenge Casper.
Yes.
But branding.
Can't be the only fill up.
He can't be the only one who's filling up. Sikona. let's fill up the halls at UJ.
Yes.
But we'll do that next time. This time around we're gonna be on campus here with a few people invited, and then the primary source will be live streaming.
You're not just a source of inspiration in the world of marketing, Doctor, but to us as black, young, you know, Africans as well. So are there any words you'd like to say to our young listeners out there today, this morning?
I think you need to find your passions, find what excites you, what excites you, and you know, the problem is when you find your passion, the passions will help you go to your purpose. Because everything you do must lead to something, it must be impactful. So, and once you've got your purpose, then you surround yourself with the people that believe in the same things you do.
Yes.
And go to the places that enable you to be that. And out of that, you'll be able to create a happy and a successful life. That's your four P's. Sorry, I think those are not the ones in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But you can run with these ones for now.
Yes, we can.
Passion,
try our best.
Purpose, people, and places.
Four P's.
These four P's will enable you to become a success and to remain authentic. Because I think the most important thing about young people want to know, I know I'm talking about authentic people, they are busy blowing up their boobs, blowing up their bums, changing their complexions, so we don't know who's real anymore. But at the end of the day, the most important thing that matters is to try as best as you can to remain true to yourself. Because at the end of the day, when you go back home, you will be confronted by you.
By just you. There's one person in the mirror when you look in there. Doctor, thank you so much for making time for
Absolute
us this
pleasure.
Morning. We really, really appreciate you. Dr. Tebe Ikalafeng, good morning.
UJFM 95.4.